Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hey, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast, and today I'm going to be talking to Dr. John Ryder, who is a psychologist who consults to corporations trying to improve their organizations with the use of psychology. And before we meet Dr. Ryder, let me give you a bit of his background. Dr. Ryder is a licensed psychologist with a private practice in Manhattan. After earning his doctorate in psychology at the City University of New York, he served as an assistant professor at Mount Sinai Medical Center. Traveling around the world, he has studied the secrets to a healthy and successful life with many of the most respected leaders of both Western and Eastern traditions. Dr. Ryder has been a consultant to many successful individuals, corporate executives, athletes, and celebrities, and he shared his expertise on a variety of radio and television shows. Dr. Ryder is a highly requested speaker and workshop leader, and he travels and lectures all around the world. And Dr. Ryder is the author of a new book called Positive Directions, which is a book on how to make life more successful. And now let's welcome Dr. Ryder. So, John, welcome to The Shrink Is In.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gurr. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And, you know, the reason that John's presence on the show is so important is because all my other shows are essentially kind of clinically oriented, and I don't want the public out there to know or to think, actually, that psychology is just, you know, the clinical end, that there are multiple other areas that psychology is important in. And one of them is in the corporate world. And I think that, John, you could talk to, you know, the corporate mentality and what's it like out there these days.
Well, indeed, you know, we psychologists are called in by corporations frequently to consult about ethics or about communication skills and helping salesmen improve their quotas, because we do understand human behavior and we can help corporations excel in those departments.
Mm. So in terms of the ethics issue, what are the ethics questions and problems that people in the corporate world are facing?
Well, these days it's a very hot item because a lot of people are getting into trouble for a variety of reasons. And what I would say is there's three basic areas: the moral, the political, and the legal aspect. Mm-hmm. The moral is, you know, how people feel about things. There are personal values and traditions that we felt. And if something doesn't feel right to you, well, you have a reason to question it. And ethics is really about identifying the things that make it happen correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the political and legal stuff, what's that all about?
Well, politically correct things are something that we may not all agree upon, mm-hmm. but it's not a feeling, but it's that sort of social notion of what is acceptable, what is politically correct. Mm-hmm. In general, that's the values of the corporate entity. That might be their mission statement or their policies or whatever rules they have. For example, a lot of corporations do not want their employees to be dating one another. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's a very common thing. And it may not be immoral or unethical, but it's against the political regimen of the group. And sometimes people can get in trouble with this.
Mm-hmm.
And legally, well, that's the most complicated aspect, because if someone actually breaches a relationship or some sort of arrangement with other people, they can be sued. And corporations have been sued for millions and millions of dollars over the last 10, 20 years,
mm-hmm. right.
on breaches of ethics that sometimes really, you know, are just bizarre, but they are paying for this, so they are very, very careful, and they do put a lot of pressure on their employees to follow the legal codes and not break any of these values. Mainly, it's in the sexual arena.
Mm-hmm. You know, decision making is a big issue, obviously, in any aspect of life. You know, we all have to make decisions on a regular basis at any moment in our day. And I guess the question is, how do people analyze, evaluate, how do they make decisions? And is it just, you know, a pattern or an issue or something that goes on, or are they taking in a lot of other pieces of information to come up with a decision?
Well, you know what? The truth is most of us make decisions impulsively. And we have whatever our personal pattern of making those decisions. If you can at least resist the temptation to be impulsive and think about it, reflect a little bit, you're much more likely to make a better decision. In the corporate world, decisions can either make or break your career. And so people have a lot riding on those decisions. And it's a question of, are you preparing yourself to make a good decision, or are you just quickly making a decision based on your old patterns and taking a chance?
Mm. So if someone has a pattern of making bad decisions, how do they change that?
Usually the pattern is because of one of their approaches to making decisions. Either they rely too much on their perception or too much on their will, and not enough on their ability to discriminate between choice A, B, or C. The key here is to become aware of what it is that each person is got in front of them and look at all of the choices very carefully, logically, and the key word here is to predict. To predict what outcome will be if you choose A or if you choose B. Mm-hmm. And if you're making a good prediction and you analyze as best as you can, then you are making a judgment based on what the results are and not what is attracting you or what might be apparently the thing that's intriguing you about one choice or another. Mm-hmm. That's often an illusion. And we often entertain illusions, and our brain is not very good at deciphering illusions. We get caught in those illusions very easily. So what I usually advise people, and this is what the brain, you know, doesn't want to do, is ask for verification.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like to ask for verification. They want to go by what their brain tells them. And if you actually just stop and ask for verification, you are much better prepared to come to a better list of choices for yourself, because you're listening to other people saying, yeah, that does sound good, or no, and they might raise the question that you didn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things in making choices is really relying on your intuition. And that's that inner radar that people have. And in my trainings, I often help people find their connection to their intuition and rely on it. The other side of this is, of course, is that no matter what your intuition is, it should be tempered by your reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't rely on logic and, you know, some degree of rational thinking, intuitions can really do lead people in the wrong direction sometimes. But
so,
I suggest a balance between the two.
But we still need the data.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Data is not something that we can go escape.
You know, in my clinical practice, I use what I call the Euchre rule, which is actually after a guy named Harold Euchre, Bob Euchre.
Yeah.
And the rule is this: the best predictor of future behavior is immediate past behavior under the same circumstances.
It's a good rule.
Right. And I try to train people to believe that, you know, look, if you did X and the person you're talking to or dealing with did Y and the outcome was Z, that the next time you do X and they do Y, one could predict pretty accurately the outcome's going to be Z. But if somebody changes the behavior, I can't predict the outcome any longer. And so it's that whole idea, as you're talking about, that, you know, sometimes we have to make a better decision or a better choice or behave in a different way if we know that the outcome has been disastrous the 10 times before.
Indeed. Another problem that I think a lot of people have is that they get paralyzed by making bad decisions and they don't want to make a decision, or, you know, are scared to.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I offer in my book called Positive Directions is the clarity question.
Mm-hmm.
That is, can you afford to make this decision even if you are wrong? And the key there is that you have to feel the liberty or the power in making that choice and saying, you know what, even if it's the wrong choice, I can afford this in terms of money, time, energy, whatever is involved. If you can answer yes, then you're taking the luxury of making a decision that you think is good, but you know, and there's some calculation in there that even if it's not, you're clear about it, that you can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
If it passes that test, then whatever decision you're making, it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, I have my three rules that I give my clients.
Yes.
These are the three rules of life, and these are the three rules that they have to pass before they make a decision. Number one, will it harm you physically or emotionally? Number two, will it potentially harm or physically or emotionally harm anybody else? And number three, is it against the law? And so,
good rules to follow.
Right, those are my three rules. If it passes those three rules, the odds are it's probably okay.
Indeed. Well, a lot of times people still, you know, think they're following the rules, but things sneak by that they're not aware of. And that's where verification really comes in. You mm-hmm. do need to ask other people's opinion about stuff that's important to you.
Correct. Right.
And that's what, you know, psychologists really offer. I think when we invite people into our private office, that's where, in confidence, they can at least raise the question and get our advice on what another person thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bit of time is for the individual to think and listen to themselves raise these issues and reflect on it, even with us or whatever we say. It's a very important opportunity to become a little bit more objective about what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Well, that leads me to my next issue, and that is communication skills. And I guess in the corporate world, one should be a good communicator.
Indeed. Communication is the road to the upper management in the corporate world, that's for sure. A lot of times I get called in for, you know, talking to corporations, and I try to simplify it in three P's: pacing, passion, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Which really means that you are pacing yourself so that you are reading the other people, you're articulating actually very carefully, but you are doing it at the right pace. When something is important, you may lower your voice and you try to get people to pay attention. And when something is really important, you can sometimes speed up so that you get the point across before other people interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
But pacing is a very important art. It's really a skill that people develop over a long time, and as you become a better communicator, you realize how you can modify that pacing when you're speaking, either publicly or just in private.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion, that's when a person injects their own emotions into things, so that people don't realize that, but passion is actually the thing that brings the communication across much more so than the words themselves. One study did a evaluation of communication with people, and they found that 55% of the communication is in the behavior, in the actual gestures and movement that a person makes. 18% was in the emotional tone of the voice, and only 8% was in the actual words.
So the words are less meaningful than the tone and the posture.
Absolutely. So, you know, when people are becoming passionate, and I mean impassioned, not just with the tone of their voice, but they're dramatic, that they create emphasis by moving their body, gesturing with their hands in some reasonable way, that they're getting the communication much more across than if they were just to sit there and, you know, in a poker face, explain their thoughts. That communication does not work very well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see, you know, the corporate leaders, they do have a lot of passion. They do have a lot of drama in their communication skills. And that's one of the reasons they're so successful in getting their points across.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final point is purpose, because If you know what you really intend to communicate, then you can plan it and create a stepwise progression so that people can follow your points very carefully and reach the conclusions you're hoping that they would reach, rather than just speaking out of turn or in order to compete with someone else or something of that sort.
Yeah. Is persuasion an art? Is it a skill? What is it?
I think it's an extremely high art and skill. Mm-hmm. Persuasion really depends on two other things. A rapport to begin with, mm-hmm. and then a feeling of trust. And again, that trust doesn't come by the words you say, but it really comes across by the image that you're creating for that person. If you create a feeling of rapport, then the person feels a little more comfortable with you. They feel that there's a good exchange of information. On the other hand, if they feel that you really are communicating with them, that they can trust you, well, then whatever it is that you're trying to get them to do, you can become much more persuasive. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the ultimate skill of any of these people in the corporate world to become really highly good at.
John, that's tremendous information, and my audience clearly will benefit from your knowledge. But I want to know how anyone can get a hold of you, your website, and any way that they could connect to you so that they can get in touch with you in terms of consulting or get a hold of your new book, Positive Directions.
Well, fine. They can reach me at my website, johnryderphd.com, and that's RYDERPhD.com. And there's a lot of resources there, too, for people, and there's a story about my book and other things. So if you go there, anyone will be able to find me and a lot of information that might be useful to them.
Great. John, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a guest on The Shrink Is In.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful night.
Before I close out the show, I would like to ask my audience members, if they're willing, to send me an email at drgurr@podomatic.com. That's drgurr at podomatic.com. And give me your email address for announcements or any comments or criticisms. I'm always looking for feedback on the show. So until next time, this has been Dr. Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.